Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Welcome to the first ever bonus version of The Instance. It's not really The Instance proper. It's like a little bonus episode, a little round table discussion.
The Instance Plus?
Instance Plus. That's what everyone calls their stupid new services, right?
Yeah, well, it's also like you've got Mythic Plus, so there's a WoW tie-in. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Disney Plus, Hulu Plus.
Disney Plus.
PlayStation Plus. It's a lot of pluses out there. Very few minuses. I don't know. I noticed nobody ever does anything called The Instance Minus. That would be bad.
That's what EA should call the new Star Wars game. They should call it the Star Wars game minus things that make EA games bad.
Ooh, I like where you're headed with this. But let me explain this real quick to people. So basically, if you are a subscriber to the Instance Loot Stash, which is our own little homegrown support system for the show, relatively new, you can head on over there. Well, you already know because you're hearing this. But if you're hearing this a week later and you're like, oh, man, I wanted to hear this a week earlier, then go to theinstance.net and click on it and see what you got to do that, because that's what this is for. And this means every month you get one of these little bonus shows, and we kind of make it a mandatory half an hour discussion about sometimes a single topic, sometimes random stuff, but always sort of in the wheelhouse of what The Instance is all about. And today it's Garrett and I. We're going to be talking a little bit about factions and why.
I think we're going to be talking a lot bit about factions.
Yes. And not fractions, because those are boring. Factions in World of Warcraft. And why some believe, and Garrett, maybe you're one of these some. I don't know. I don't want to presume anything, so I'll let you tell me. But some believe that making it easy for the factions to better cohabitate in the game of World of Warcraft is a bad thing. Do you agree with that? Or do you think we should throw off these shackles and pretty soon orcs will understand humans and all the way down the line, everyone will be sleeping together? What do you think?
I kind of ride the line, because I think my short answer to this is I think that the faction divide that has always existed in World of Warcraft is something that makes the game very unique and is done very well. The way that plays into the way zones are created, cities are created, and the way PvP plays out is pretty damn cool. Yeah. And very unique, and it would be borderline impossible to remove it entirely. However, I'm also a big Warcraft lore nerd, and major players in Warcraft's lore have teamed up across faction lines so many times, I don't know how many times it's happened.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly happening in the RTSs, so it's, you know, was nothing new even before World of Warcraft to have that crossover.
Exactly. So I've always been of the mind that I don't understand why Horde and Alliance players can't group up and go do a dungeon or do a raid or maybe even gasp.
Ooh.
Join a guild together.
What? Holy crap. Dogs and cats. No. I think this is an interesting point. The game made a strong choice in the beginning. I mean, it is called Warcraft. It's about, you know, warring against someone else with your craft, I guess. And so there was always going to be this idea in the game or in the Warcraft universe, this idea of opposed forces. But the game is, like you said, always dabbled in, hey, let's have a little fun here. And what if Jaina and Thrall were friends? And also later on, what if that friendship frays and why? And what other alliances could we have come and go and that sort of thing? And I think it's always been to the game's strength that it's been willing to dabble in that stuff. And I also like, just from a fantasy lore perspective in general, I like when two groups of people or two even individuals get together in a book or a D&D campaign or something where they shouldn't like each other. They've traditionally been enemies or whatever the deal is. I love that conflict because it's there all the time and informs a lot of their relationship. But as they go along, they can, you know, they turn out they have to save each other's back, or they may not like each other, but they need each other to survive. That's
so what
interesting.
You're saying is you are a fan of frenemies.
Yes, I think it's a cool concept, and the game does it well with its big marquee players or characters. It just doesn't do it well with us. If indeed that's something we want. But if it wanted to, yeah, like, why can't I group with an opposed faction and go run a dungeon or quest with them? Like, what's the harm in it? We're not the upper echelons of the political problem happening with, you know, Sylvanas and Anduin. But even in their case, like, Saurfang and Anduin are scheming together now, sort of.
No, sort of. Definitely. They are 100% scheming together.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, that's where we're at in the story with BFA. And so, if that's okay, why can't it be okay for some random orc and some random night elf to go on a little, you know, quest together? A little, I don't know, just... like, just if you think of it that way, that's not that crazy or that outlandish. And so I'm for the faction division from a fundamental sort of that makes the game what it is from level one and let's go. But why not just dabble in this more, I don't know, probably more authentic idea of what the world would be like? And there's no reason why an orc and a human couldn't understand each other a little bit. Instead, we have these artificial constructs like, you know, language barrier where it's just gibberish if you try to chat to somebody. Just, you know, a little laying off of that I think would be okay. But on the other hand, I'm not saying, and now the Horde and the Alliance finally joining hands across Azeroth for a future peaceful way of, you know, then where's your
I'm
game?
Glad that you're doing that, by the way, in the voice that a royal wedding is usually play-by-play. And now the orc sends the friend invite to the human, and the human accepts.
As we see Prince Philip still moving under his own motivation, barely holding the hand of the queen. Yeah, I love...
Oh, God.
I love that thing. But anyway, the point is, like, you know, keep your base, but let's let it... Because you know what real life is, even warlike life, like, I don't know, World War II. There were examples of some American low-level soldier getting along just fine with some low-level German soldier who left each other alone or exchanged glances or played Christmas music and nobody attacked that night, like all those stories you hear. Like, you can create that kind of stuff, I think, on the player level and get away with it. Now, I know there are people hearing us say that and going, no way, dude. If they're not just constantly knives at each other's throat, then what's the point? I don't know. I feel like I've softened on all that.
Yeah, I have softened a lot because as someone who plays both factions, it's just like, well, why can't I just group up with my blood elf with my buddy who plays a human? Mm. It happens all the time in major events across Warcraft's history.
Does any of this get solved by adding, this is a whole nother issue almost, but adding additional factions? I don't think we've ever talked about that, you and I anyway. About the idea
so
of the
it
third
would,
faction.
I think if you kind of relax the borders between factions, it would certainly make it a lot easier to add another faction.
Yeah. I mean, more than Blood Elves, obviously. Some are saying that right now under their breath, but that's different. They come in as a third faction, but that you have to assign yourself. Or do you? Do you have to pick a side? Yeah.
I mean, that's what they did with pandas, right?
They have to, right? Because the panda couldn't just keep... I know there's the stories about these players that go all the way to 110 and never hurt anything or kill anything. They just, you know, pick herbs their
way. They
never
leave the island. Yeah, they never leave the island.
Which is kind of cool, and I like that in its own right. But I'm pretty sure the way the game works anyway, if I remember right, you get involved in that conflict, and then at level 10, you have to make a choice or else you're stuck in the AI scenario, the scripted scenario, and you'll never get out of it. You're in an instance that will never end. So,
which sounds like a great thing for fans of this podcast.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But if you're going to like, let's think of another faction that we care about. Vykrals. What if the Vykrals are just like, we're not Horde, we're not Alliance, we're just Vykrals. We're the Vykral Alliance. Like, why not? Is that a problem? Like, why can't we add more factions? Does it have to be that we only have these two sides to pick from?
That's where the game mechanics come in, and something like BFA, where there are two very distinct different leveling experiences depending on your faction, that what do you do with that third faction retroactively? Like, so say next expansion they add a third faction,
yeah.
But that you roll whatever races are in that faction. You have to level up. What happens when you hit BFA? Are you playing the Alliance arc, or are you playing the Horde arc?
That's a good question. Or if you're actually any of the content, it's all down those two lanes of content, right?
Legion was pretty much the same. Legion was all about your class order hall story. It wasn't a war campaign.
Mm. Yeah, but this one, you're like, you either go to human pirate town or you go to Zandalari dinosaur land.
Yeah, you go to the Pink Pyramid.
Right. right. And you don't, it's not like there's some third thing or some way to avoid both and just, I don't know, hang out somewhere else. Like, you have to make a choice. So
now I guess, like, there's an argument for, well, they could add a Horde and an Alliance emissary that when you hit that point, they go, who will you fight for in the war of the past? and you choose, and then bam, there you go. You've got a quest arc to go on.
Yeah.
Which is something I could see them doing. But yeah, my thoughts on this were more focused on blurring the lines between the two factions we currently have. But I do think if you did start to blow those lines, it would certainly open things up to extra factions as well.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. And to me, it's like, say they start letting us party with across faction, say they let us start joining guilds across faction, but where are the lines? Mm-hmm. Like, are you allowed to PvP together? Mm-hmm. Because that gets weird.
Yeah, that I could see. That's a whole nother bag of chips. I don't even know how you'd do that.
Yeah,
you could start a battleground and say, fill this side with just players who are queued. And it could, actually, didn't this happen? There was something. What was that? There was some battleground or something where you would play alongside, or you'd be transmogged into being the human, and you'd be playing with the Alliance.
Well, are you talking about the freaking the Zara lore raid?
Maybe.
you get faction transmorphed at a certain point when you're doing the faction specific fights, and it has also happened in Caverns of Time where they just turn you into a race that made sense to exist during that point in Warcraft's history.
Oh, right, yeah, like the plague stuff and all that. Or the,
yeah, which could be something they did for PvP. The rub is with racials, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they would reconcile that.
Sure, unless you just really made it a mixed bag and it didn't matter what side you would just queue and then you would be put on a side. Like, you don't get to control
that's
that.
That's where obviously it's a personal opinion, but that's where I start to think like, well, no, that divide is sacred. The faction divide in PvP, I think, is a sacred kind of tenet of World of Warcraft that can't be messed with.
That's a good point. I mean, it's the one remaining piece of what Warcraft is outside of story. Like, you going up against another faction and having that be a clear us and them scenario. And in PvP, that is what you're doing. So if you just start willy-nilly mixing people, then you may as well just be a bad multiplayer game without that hook. You know what I mean? Like, if this just some crappy arena fighter that you'd get on Steam that, you know, wants microtransactions.
It's a bit of a low opinion of WoW's PvP if the only thing that makes it work for you is the faction divide.
Well, okay. I mean, this is a whole nother topic, but we should probably address this real quick. I have always felt, and I could be totally wrong, that I've always felt that Blizzard may even feel this way. I could be wrong about that. I don't want to put words in their mouths, but WoW was never well suited for multiplayer, player versus player, in the way that their RTSs were. And so a lot of people heard about WoW being made back in 2002 and 3 and that. They were really excited about the prospect of a player versus player environment. Even if you came from other MMOs, that seemed exciting because the lineage was there. You're like, oh, this is World of Warcraft. That's Warcraft. That's Orcs versus humans. That's everything we love about player versus player. Clearly, they're going to find a way to make that feel like this in a MMO. And I just would like to say, for the record, I don't think they ever have and probably never quite will, because it's a little like saying, you know, here, take my FIFA soccer game and make it feel like God of War. Like, it's not quite that much of a divide, but I'm exaggerating, but I feel like it's never, if they had built a player versus player from the ground up, that's all it was meant to be kind of game, then it would have been a terrible PvE game. It would have been a bad MMO. It would have been a great PvE game or PvP game, but it's just the reverse. The fact that they made a great MMO and then added in which, you know, again, didn't come at launch, but added in the PvP element, it's always felt tacked on and not exactly amazing. And the esports part of it never quite took off in the way that, you know, competitive raiding and now competitive dungeon runs, like that, that's proven out to be the way people want to see people compete, not necessarily toe-to-toe, you know, in arenas or in battlegrounds or anything else.
Please mark esports as a topic we need to, or competitive WoW as a topic we need to come back around to, because I have a million thoughts on that.
We really should, because it's interesting, right? Like, I don't know why I feel this way about it, and I do. I've enjoyed various times where I played PvP in the game, but it's not. I mean, controversial opinion. It's not a good PvP game. It's not.
It's okay. I disagree.
Oh,
but it's a loaded topic. It's MMO with tab targeting. That's how you play this game. So that's also how you're going to play this PvP. If you don't like that poor PvP, okay, I could see you having the opinions that you're having.
Yeah.
But I think PvP has added a lot to World of Warcraft and is a large part of the puzzle that allowed this to be an only game for a lot of people for over a decade.
Yeah, there are, I mean, I know that it has its play. I mean, certainly it has its players, right? They have to be. There's a super dedicated group that just loves being in there all the time. And then there's a group of people who like to for a while and then get out and play the content that comes, you know, with PvE, and then they go back. And then there's people like me who barely touch PvP. They'll do it once in a while if friends are on or something. But I guess what I'm saying is, at a fundamental level, if you put a bunch of people in a room and said, all right, everyone, time to make a competitive kill the other guy game. Let's see what you got. Nobody who's going to do tab targeting. Nobody's going to do cooldowns. They might do cooldowns, but nobody's going to do the WoW structure.
Almost everyone's doing cooldowns.
I know. It's a bad, I realize, as I said, it was the stupidest thing ever. Every game of any kind has cooldowns. And you know what? I don't want to not give WoW credit for this. Cooldowns are very much they didn't invent it, but they certainly made it a mechanic that you could easily go, that would be great for a shooter. That would be great for something else. Like, I feel like they were kind of like the grandfathers of the modern day cooldown. But
yeah, do you remember when like Modern Warfare 2 came out and there was like a perk system and you could build out your loadout, and it was like, oh my god, they've got like WoW talents and perks in my Call of Duty shooter. This is amazing.
It was,
it blew our minds at the time.
Yeah, it changed the shooter world forever. You can't make a shooter now without progression, or else your shooter's stupid. Like, you have to have something.
Yeah, or it's Overwatch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but even that, they were smart enough there to go, I mean, forget about what we all think about loot boxes now, but they have a progression system. It's you know, you
they
level
do.
Up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm being cheeky.
It'd be better if it was more, I agree with you, you know, it's not much of one, but it's there. You can level, you can get your boxes, you can get your stuff. But
yeah, I like Apex, and it has like even worse progression than Overwatch. So yeah, we don't mind to talk.
That's true. That's true. They'll get better though. They're second. Yeah, I don't know.
So back to the factions bits. I mean, that's kind of the difficult part of this conversation is, where do you draw those lines? And I think maybe PvP is one of those lines. Maybe faction capitals is one of those lines. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be.
Sure.
I mean, you could just let orcs walk in and use the Stormwind auction house. But I would miss faction raiding.
Yeah,
I would miss trying to sack cities.
Yeah. Like, that again feels like that feels sacred and you can't mess with it. Like the idea, just the concept of orcs wandering into Stormwind and using their auction house is just flies against everything I believe. You know, like, it doesn't work. You shouldn't allow it. And
though,
vice
how
versa.
Cool would it be if you could like party up cross faction and raid your own city and get like the I want the title traitor. How cool would that be? Like, kill your own faction's leaders and get the title traitor.
Like a traitor system. That's interesting.
That'd be so cool.
Hadn't thought of that.
It'd be even cooler if you had to use some sort of item to like transmorph yourself into a race from the other faction. And it'd be really cool if you gave that to like alchemists. It's something only they could make.
Yeah.
And
you
sell.
Really,
you have to go to the Booty Bay auction house because it's the only cross faction auction house. And
sure. I mean, like, okay. Kind of so how's this idea? And this is very gamey, but and never going to happen, but I'm still going to throw it out there. What if I could walk into some sort of goblin tech and have it convert me into a human for gold, but only temporarily? So this is just like a, You get 4 days a human looking, which is very, you know, fantasy stuff. It's all in D&D and everything, looking like somebody else. Not a problem. And certainly the game's done it in other ways. Like you mentioned, Culling of Stratholme's a good example. But anyway, turn me into a human and I'll just go do that shit for a while. I'll go hang out in Stormwind. I'll raid Faction the Horde or Faction Raid the Horde, rather. I'll do all sorts of human-y stuff for a limited time. If I got the 1,000 gold, just spend it. And when I'm done, it'll turn me back and it'll happen overnight because I wasn't playing when it happened or whatever. Like, just some cool stuff like that to let people explore around. You could do that. They won't do that, but they could. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a little convoluted, but but sure.
I mean, it's a lot convoluted. It's a lot convoluted.
Yeah.
If I'm honest.
Yeah. And that's where I think the conversation kind of gets interesting is like, well, what if they did? And where do you draw the lines? And what would the game mechanics look like that would allow you to play across faction? Yeah, I don't know. It's something I always come back to, and it's something I thought we might be heading there.
Yeah.
In this expansion, like before BFA got announced, I'm like, I think they're going to finally announce that we can play with people on the other faction. And they're like, nope, doubling down on how much these factions hate each other.
Yeah, but they got creative about some of the stuff you could see. And, you know, the Desire Lord raid is a good example of that. It's like, here's a different progression for each of you, and you're both going to see it in different ways. And then there's a way to see it both ways if you want to. And, you know, like they've said that or like the having these two, usually it's one big landmass and everybody kind of goes off and does their own thing with their different camps. But in this expansion, they said, nope, we got two brand new places and they're very faction specific. But you can come over there and do world quests. You can end up with a bunch of story over there. Like I think they've done a really good job of bridging some of this. I don't know if people are complaining about that necessarily, but my biggest complaint about factioning in the game is not much to do with the game itself. I think the game is probably handling it fine and I don't have much to complain about. My big complaint is people who get real nasty about it on the street, like in real life, and start giving each other shit online about, you know, whether you should be Alliance or Horde. All these years later, people still do that. And I know it's a minority and I know it's a loud little group and whatever. But I find it obnoxious to the point of I just want to slap you, you know, which is not nice. No one wants to get slapped, not even by me, my big crusty hands. So
I have not had that experience in a very, 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 very long time. So it's certainly rare, which is not
just happened to me. Exist, you know what? It's probably rare for me too. But it's been a couple of times in the last month or two that I've had run-ins where they're just so serious about it. And kind of weirdly hateful about the other side and stuff like that. And I'm like, dude, we got enough of this in real life. We don't need it in World of Warcraft. Like the whole point of Warcraft is that it's this playground where we can be a little racist. Well, that's not the reason, but you know what I mean? Like we can be,
it's okay for me to be like, I hate gnomes.
No,
it's
not kinda,
worse than a gnome.
Kind of, yeah. Because what you're doing in real life would be abhorrent. Me saying I hate gnomes is fine. But if there were gnomes in my real life and I was going, I hate gnomes, I want to punt one. Well, then you're an a-hole, you know, because these are, you know, living people with rights and everything else. And you shouldn't be able to do that. But in the game, there's like this weird layer that you can break through and go, yeah, I can be a total dick just because I think they're savages or whatever.
Get over it by just thinking of it like you hate people that drive certain cars. Like, I just assume if you drive a lifted truck, you're probably a douchebag.
Yes, kind of like that, except even then, well, whatever. I complain about truck people in huge trucks all the time, but I know a couple of people with huge trucks, and I know they're not douchebags.
I do too. They're very, very nice people.
Yeah, they're nice people. So, you know, it's easy to, and next time you're on the road, you're still going to see one and go, freaking douchebag, even though you know they're probably fine. Right.
Like, actually, if I'm going to be truly honest, like my car racism is Saabs. I assume everyone that owns a Saab has no idea how to drive because they, back in the day at least, they had such high crash test safety ratings. I just assumed.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'll be fine. Whatever happens, I'll just merge without looking.
Yeah. Yep. They don't exist.
Through a red light.
They're gone, right? No more Saab. They're done.
No more Saab. No All more right. Saab. They're still on the road because they built a good car. They still see them around.
They last. They just don't crash.
Getting
very
off
well.
Topic.
Yeah, yeah. Very off topic. But, this faction is not a faction war about Saab versus. I just bought a Volkswagen.
No, it's not. But that, I mean, that again goes kind of into the frenemy thing, and where I think you can still have your faction pride and while playing with players of the opposite faction.
Now, does that? What is the to what end for Blizzard? Do they benefit from this? Do you think? Like, I know what we want, but in what way would the business of Warcraft benefit from cross faction nicety? Do you think?
It just becomes a much easier game to be social on, and so many of the improvements, especially in BFA, have been, I think, social. Well, really, I guess I'm just talking about like the in-game community tab for World of Warcraft has. Made it so much easier for me to keep in touch with my friends, whether they're on my guild, whether they're on my server. And then I think of all the other quality of life improvements we've had over the years of World of Warcraft with things like just being able to phasing between servers. Like I can play, you know, I just got my max level alliance soon. I'm playing with my alliance friends now who are not on Earthen Ring.
Right. Oh,
and
good
it's
point.
It's super easy. We group up and it's like magically we're together. And yes, that's been in the game for a while, but it's something I haven't really taken a big advantage of up until this point. And so for me, I look at this as just one more step in making this a really easy, from like an accessibility perspective, social game.
Yeah, you'd break down that one last barrier, which is my best, you know, I'm a Horde guy and I focus on a tune and I got a friend who's Alliance and he focuses on his tune. And boy, would we like to go raid together because that's the gear level we're looking for these two tunes, and neither of us have anything on the opposite side that's even close. So you can't do it. Like, you literally, you're not, you don't have the option. That's one more chunk of 2 hours Blizzard would get from me. You know what I mean? Like, that's one more play opportunity. That's one more good experience. That's one more word of mouth about why that was great that he and I got to run. Like, I think that there's no reason they shouldn't do that eventually if they're not already thinking about it. And exactly. Honestly, they could have done it by now because, again, you're talking about the one case of me and my friends are doing a thing. And fantasy lore-wise, it's still okay. It doesn't break to say that these two warring factions to get some, you know, we need these artifacts regardless. I'm willing to work with somebody I don't trust. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of thinking is not crazy. It's not game breaking. It's not lore breaking.
No, you can totally role play that all you want.
Right.
I mean, it's up to you.
Right.
How you role play.
That's my rule. If you can role play it, it works. If you can't role play it, then maybe it's a bad idea. But within the context of WoW and its lore and its fantasy, I think it totally works. If it can work for Anduin and Backstabby, what's his name?
Sourfang.
Going backstabbing because he stabbed Malfurion in the back. But anyway.
Is it a backstab when you throw the axe?
Yeah, right.
It's more like a back chop.
Yeah, it's more
you
of a...
You don't stab with an axe, you chop with an axe.
It's a ranged attack.
Surrender!
Sarafang! That's the dumbest scene. But anyway, they if they can do it, why not? Like, let's get that complexity and let it open up a little bit for players. Because this idea that we have mandatory, forced separation feels counter to what should be happening, which is MMO, massively multiplayer, all my friends. Play with your friends. And now that...
I mean, listen, we talked about how, you know, toxicity... for, you know, negative opinions of the other faction happens, but is very rare. You know what's a lot more common is going, you damn dirty Horde. That's what I say to my friend when I'm like, hey, what faction are you? Let's play together. And they say they're on the faction that I'm not playing.
Yeah.
That's where any form of toxicity comes from. I'm like, damn it. The only anger I really feel towards that faction is I wanted to play with my friend and I can't.
Yeah. No, this is right. This is truth. Yeah. So I think we've solved it. We've solved all the faction issues. And we'd love your feedback. Do you guys have ideas out there?
Yes, we solved it. We've fixed the issue. Blizzard, all you have to do is make it so.
Yeah, all you have to do is go against one of the founding tenets of the game, which is Horde v Alliance, and just let down your skirt a little bit. That's all we're asking. That's probably
let down your skirt?
I don't know. That's a bad way to say it, isn't it? It's not
a
good
way. It's a very bad way to say it.
It's not even a proper metaphor. is it? Let me think. Yeah, it's not.
There's so many terrible ways to take that. just relax.
Relax. Just relax. Yeah, let a little elasticity into your life. And
wear your stretchy pants. Yeah, you're about to have a big cross-faction meal.
They're about to get pulled down a little, according to me, but not you. You're gonna eat food.
We're going to pants you for some reason.
Oh my gosh, this is exactly right to the second over.